Today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
What are you busy with? Because some of what I hear as busyness, I would more classify as hobbies. Work, but not in the sense that it's necessary work. Because some of you are workaholics. You work too much and you don't trust God enough. We're busy building bigger and better lives for ourselves. And because we're building bigger and better lives, it takes more of our resources. And because it takes more resources, it takes more of our time. Again, we bought into something that the culture says is what is right and important and valuable, and it's not.
Deeper and deeper. Deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
As Christians, we're to be about our Father's business. Now, that doesn't mean that we should all pack up and move to a foreign country to be a missionary. It simply means that in all that we do, we are to be submitted to God. We're to listen for His voice and walk in the path He has illuminated for us. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now, open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verse 19, as we join Pastor Troy for the conclusion of our message entitled, Jesus Said, Follow Me.
Have you ever had a baby? If you've had a baby and you had that dream that it's all going to be perfect, as soon as you start changing diapers or 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, the baby's crying, you go, man, this is work. Where's my husband at? You get up and change the diaper. And then there's the stage of they're getting bigger, so you're carrying them, but everyone else wants to hold them. They think, oh, who wouldn't want to hold this baby? Oh, this baby smells so good. Mom and dad are like, here, it's your turn. No, here's your turn. Here's your turn. Here's your turn. Because you're in the ministry. You're in. It's not perfect. Nothing in the church is perfect. But here's what should be true about the church. We should all be looking to Christ, following Him, going that direction, becoming more like Him every day. Every single day, we're called to follow Him. See, Jesus is the light of the world. When you're in darkness, and you don't realize you're in darkness, when a light flips on, I'm not talking about the overhead lights. Let's say a little candle light to help you find your way out. Not the boom, oh my goodness kind of light. Just a light to help you. Your eyes, boom. Gravitate toward that. Oh, a way out. If you're in a cave that is pitch dark, you're looking to see any rays of light at all. They're like, that's the way. That's the light Jesus is talking about. That's the light that He is. We're to follow Him, to become like Him. In John chapter 8, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. In Matthew 11:29, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Here's the idea, a yoke. A yoke is not a stockade. I think some have the idea of, you know, take my yoke upon you like we're going to be in the stockades. All right, I'm a slave for Jesus, just right here. No, a yoke is something that you would hitch to a beast of burden, an ox or something that would plow, that would do a work. So you'd put that yoke on there and that animal would take the burden of the work. And so what Jesus is saying is not, here, wear that. He's saying, join me, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. You're going to have to be with me. And so as you take His yoke upon you, a couple of things happen. One, yes, He leads. He's the big ox. You're the little one. So He leads. He directs. You're going with Him. But He also does all the work. Because while He's doing something consistently and steady, here's what we're doing. At first, we give our life to the Lord. We yoke ourselves and we're running. We're running, man. And Jesus is like, slow down. This is a long race here. Settle down, settle down. So we're all right. I'll settle down a little bit. It's cool. So we're walking with the Lord. Then reality hits and we stumble. Boom. Whoa. This is actually kind of scary. It's more difficult than I thought. So we have those seasons of, ooh, I don't know if I can do this. Then there are the seasons where three rows are actually being plowed, the one behind the oxen, your 2 feet. But Jesus is still going. He's still working. You're still yoked to Him because He's faithful. He's faithful. But then as we mature, we get our feeding, we begin to walk with Him some more at His pace. And we're walking with Him, we're working with Him, we're talking with Him. And man, I'm maturing. This is really cool. Just take my yoke. Learn from me. Follow me. Let me do everything. You just stick with me. He said, you're a vine. I'm the source. I'm the root. I'm the vine. You're a branch. You need to be in me to produce any fruit, to do any good thing. And if you're not in me, you can't produce fruit. You can produce good things, but not the fruit that comes from a genuine work of the Holy Spirit and God in your life. And the truth is, Jesus wants you as a Christian, as a follower, to be a light. Not someone that people look to and are offended by because you're just in their face about God all the time. And then they see that, well, you complain just like everybody else. You talk about the joy of the Lord and you're over there talking with your Christian friends, complaining about church, complaining about the pastor, complaining about the boss. That's not a light. We're called to be a light. When we say we have the joy of the Lord, there should be no complaining. When we are content, there won't be any complaining. The complaining is clearly a sign there is a discontentedness. We are the light of the world, Jesus said. In Matthew 5, 14 through 16, He tells His followers, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And so He calls the disciples now to follow Him. Verse 18, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then He said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed Him. Going on from there, He saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed Him. One thing that we should really take note of here is that when they followed Him, they did it immediately and they left everything. There was nothing they commanded of Him. Okay, I'm going to take this. Hey, let me finish my great, I'm having a great day here. Let me finish my catch here. Boy, I'm going to bring in the money here. And let me reason through this reasonably here with you, Jesus. This money will certainly help finance whatever we're going to do out there. I don't know, fishing for men, never done it, but it's got to cost money. But they didn't do that. He said, follow me. They followed Him. We live in a very busy culture. I know everyone says that all the time. We need a meeting, but we're all so busy. There's the communication in the church is getting more difficult with more people, but we're all so busy. I know. I hear it all the time. We're all busy. I understand that. But what are your priorities in all of that busyness? What are you busy with? Because some of what I hear as busyness, I would more classify as hobbies, work, but not in the sense that it's necessary work. Because some of you are workaholics. You work too much and you don't trust God enough. We're busy building bigger and better lives for ourselves. And because we're building bigger and better lives, it takes more of our resources. And because it takes more resources, it takes more of our time. Again, we bought into something that the culture says is what is right and important and valuable. and it's not. I'll give you any third world country or second world country as an example. It's in the U.S. It's in countries like this where we see those things are as important. But when you go to other places where the Christians are content, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, churches are thriving, people are walking miles to get to church. Whenever you see that, that's alive. And they don't grumble about how long the walk is. They are content, filled with the joy of the Lord, and they have way less than you and I have. There are things that we do and involve ourselves in and argue about that I have known missionaries from other countries who come into our country and share in pulpits. And I've talked to them and they said, one thing that I notice about America, one, you guys are consumed with things. You guys are too busy for each other. Ministry is even just another thing to you. Two, he said that your children have way too much freedom. You have freedom, and it's not done all that great for you. He said, but your kids, it's no wonder you're losing your kids. They're not growing up with discipline, structure. They're not helping in the homes. Most kids are always on media devices. The parents think the kids are behaving, but all they are is distracted. They're not behaving. They're not learning anything. He said, and you expect them to grow up and to be responsible, know how to communicate with people? He said, these are things that we see an outsider's perspective from a simple, humble Christian in another country. Now, there was more. But when you hear stuff like that and you go, man, who can save us? Only Jesus Christ can. And today, I think he says to each one of us, follow me. My burden is light. It's not heavy. My way is not complicated. It's simple. It's pure. It's almost mandatory that we just have a lot of stuff. And yet it's the stuff that keeps us away from Christ. It's the pursuit of stuff. It's the pursuit of the things of this world. There was a rich man who came to Jesus. He said, Master, what do I do to have eternal life? He said, well, do these. The guy said, well, morally speaking, I've done all of those things, kept those from my youth. Then Jesus got pointed with him and said, go sell all your stuff, get rid of it, free yourself, give it to the poor, follow me, and you'll have life. And said the man went away sad, because he had a lot of stuff. Man, I can't do that. I've acquired too much stuff. I'm involved in too much stuff. I've invested too much in this stuff. And yet Paul the Apostle is a good example for us. No one invested more than Paul. Paul had the greatest teacher, Gamaliel, sat under him, was learning to be a Pharisee among Pharisees. Hey, they're the Pharisees, but I'm setting the standard, man. I am on the fast track. And yet he counted all of that rubbish and loss for the sake of Christ. He gave it all up to bring glory to God and to fulfill his will. Are you willing to receive from today the words that God wants to speak to your heart? Are you willing to hear the words, follow me, and what that means? Are you willing to leave things to put him first? Because see, if you're not willing to receive a message like that, then hearing it doesn't really help. You've got to receive it. Jesus talked about types of soil that the Word of God would fall upon. There was the hard ground, and it said that the birds of the air came and immediately took that up, and it didn't do anything. Some fall in that category. The words come out of my mouth. The words come off of the page and they hit you. But as soon as you walk through the door, it's like you were never at church. You never heard the Word of God. It's just life is normal. He spoke to you. You're a certain kind of soil. Not a good one either. There was also a kind that The words hit, and because there was shallow ground, it sprang up quickly, looked good, excited, man. Those are the ones that will come forward and go, oh, yes, I want to. Oh, the word was so true, it's true. I need to change so much. And they go out there, and for a couple of weeks, man, they're on fire. Oh, God is good. But then they just die away pretty quick. Nothing really happens. But I think a lot of people, especially in our culture, fall into this category. Listen. He said in Mark 4, 18 and 19, now these are the ones sown among thorns. They're the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. It doesn't produce anything. I think that describes many today in the church. And that's why there's so little fruit, so little power, so little difference in us in the world. And our focus on things is impacting our kids as well. Katrina Kinnison, author of Reflections for Mothers in a Hurry, wrote this. We seem to have lost the knack of appreciating the ordinary. We provide our children with so much that the extraordinary isn't even special anymore, and the subtle rhythms of daily life avoid us altogether. We do so much and savor too little. We mistake activity for happiness, and so we stuff our children's days with activities and their heads with information when we really ought to be nourishing them and feeding their souls instead. The light of the world has come, and He's calling you. Just as clear, just as real as He did with the disciples on that day. He's saying, follow me. And not only follow me, but I have a purpose for you. I have work for you. Well, I'm too busy for that. It's going to be hard for you to even follow me if that's your attitude. And how could you have too much to do when it's the God of all creation who's the one who asks you to follow Him? Well, got to eat. Need time to eat. Jesus set an example, and He said, well, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me. I have food you don't know anything about. It fulfills me. It sustains me. He put it before even food. All right, well, sleep then. We need sleep. Seems like sometimes some people wait for church to sleep. But Jesus, if you look at His life and His example, when ministry was happening and they called upon Him, He wanted to sleep. But He would go and He would spend all night praying and still come back and select 12 apostles. Still work. Stay up all night healing everyone. Are they ever going to run out? That's what we'll do here, right? Are they ever going to go home? They love each other. What's going on here? And Jesus would stay and do everything because that's what fulfilled Him. I want to tell you, that's what will fulfill you. The work of God. The work of God fulfills you. You've got to taste it to find out. When He says, follow me, follow Him. And don't reason so much. This is where we get ourselves in trouble. We're very reasonable. And every time, because faith and reason sometimes clash. Because the things God says and asks of us, and it just doesn't make a lot of sense to us, our way of thinking. That's why our mind has to be renewed. Doesn't seem to fit. So don't think so much. Just respond to the Lord. I've always reasoned myself out of anything that requires faith. When I reason too long. Trust God. We've got to leave our busyness so that we can fill our time with the business of God. I'm encouraged by Jesus' choice of disciples. Because maybe you don't feel like you'd be one that God would say, follow me to. I want to use you. But I like His choice of disciples because it encourages me. Peter. Peter was a man who stuck his foot in his mouth all the time. Jesus is going to wash their feet, serving them, setting an example for them. Peter says, don't wash my feet. No way. I'm too humble to allow you to wash my feet. Jesus said, look, Peter, let's get real. If I don't wash your feet, if I don't serve you in this manner, you have no part in me. So Peter, an extremist also, says, well, then wash all of me. Go for it, Lord. Have a field day. Just wash away. Jesus said, look, I just need to wash your feet. Okay, Peter, you think Peter's not a good choice for ministry. Peter's always messing up. Jesus didn't see Peter that way. Jesus was talking about the fact that they would deny him. And Peter said, I will never deny you, Lord. Jesus said, Peter, this very night, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. I'm sure Peter thought, man, you just don't know. I mean, over the course of a week, maybe, but in one night, come on now. I'm Peter. You gave me the name Peter, rock. But he was wrong. Peter had Jesus call him Satan one time. He was talking about going to the cross. I'm going to die. And Peter said, that'll never happen to you. He said, get behind thee, Satan. You have not in mind the things of God, but the things of man. You're not thinking right. That was Peter. God called him. James and John, they got the name Sons of Thunder. One time, Jesus is going to go through Samaria to go down to Judea. And as he's going to go to Samaria, they wouldn't permit him. So James and John said, Hey, you want us to call down thunder? You want us to call down lightning? We'll consume them with fire from heaven, just like Elijah. Lord, you just say it. We're your boys. We got your back. Jesus said, look, you guys don't know what you're saying. I didn't come for that right now. Settle down. And then they got the nickname Sons of Thunder. They were the two that were always stirring up competition among the disciples. Who was going to be the greatest? Obviously, it's going to be us. I was going to call down fire from heaven. Jesus backed us off. I said, Jesus, I'm going to take care of you, man. Jesus said, no, man, we don't need to go there. But I had his back. We're going to be the greatest in the kingdom. So these are the kind of people that Jesus called, and yet he transformed them so that they would transform the world around them. What about you? See, changing the world around you begins with you. Paul said, I counted everything lost for the sake of Christ. His life transformed people. They were scared of Paul when he came into town the first time. So, no, this Paul has killed people. We don't trust him. God had to actually send somebody to say, no, God spoke to me. Said, put your hands on him, scales will fall off, and he's going to follow me and be a minister to the Gentiles. And they were a little concerned, but seeing the transformation in Paul's life transformed their life. The same thing happens when you begin to change. Listen, if you begin to break away from your routine and everything that you consider normal life for the sake of following Christ, that's what the disciples did. Even Dad was left standing there. People are going to take note and they're going to go, what's different about you? It's one of the hardest things you'll ever do. Stand for Christ. You know, it's easier to be like, I'm kind of interpreting some of this, in a gang and to dress like them and to show their signs and wear their colors and be proud of that. Or to be a soldier in the army and dress like that and do that and carry a weapon and all that. These are cool things. No problem identifying with a group. But for some reason, taking a Bible, my sword, and having it on my desk, hard. It's hard to be proud of being in the Lord's army. Hey, what's going on in your life? I'm a soldier in the Lord's army. Oh, man, you guys are coming here with that. Hey, don't be ashamed. You be proud. Many are called, few are chosen.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper. I want to know you more.
Pastor Troy will pick up where he left off the next time you join us for another study through the Gospel of Matthew here on Building on the Solid Rock. If you live in the San Antonio, Texas area, we want to invite you to join us for worship. The messages that you hear on Building on the Solid Rock are produced from worship services at Calvary Chapel, Solid Rock.
maybe the teaching you heard today is exactly what you're looking for in a church, then please join us. We meet Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. For more information about our ministry, including service times and driving directions, log on to our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you will be able to listen to or download any of our messages in their entirety, as well as get to know us better. Well, that's all the time we have for today. We want to thank you for tuning in, and may God richly bless you.
But somehow I survive, and I wonder why. I wonder why. And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.